My first ever career legitimate birdie came on a 98-yard par 3 hole at Rancho Park at the Executive Course. I hit the ball to the right of the green. I still have never hit a green in regulation, but I was able to hole out from about 25 yards, John. It was one of the great moments of my life. It was one of the great accomplishments in my sporting career. Singer and Kalinske both came up. I was playing with Sue Kalinske and David Singer both. And, you know, chest bump with Singer. It was awesome. It was great. And you hit a hole in one once, right?
Yeah, I've done it twice, but I did it earlier this year. And
that's got to be like the greatest feeling in the world.
Well, you never forget them. That's for sure.
Yeah. I will never forget this, John. My first birdie. You know what? Your first birdie is you always remember, right?
Yeah. Hey, speaking of Sue Kalinske, we got a tweet from Lenny. We were talking earlier about I have trouble sleeping.
Yeah.
He says, I've had problems staying asleep like Ireland, but I came across something that when you listen, you stay asleep. It's called the Culture Pop Podcast.
Oh!
The lady is awesome, but the guy is a bore. Z. So somewhere in that rip of you is a compliment for Crazy Sue.
Yes, Crazy Sue's awesome. By the way, if you want to listen to the Culture Pop Podcast, you can check it out on iTunes or Spotify. Just posted a new podcast with Andy Richter from the Conan Show. So if you're Team Conan, it's really, really good. Andy Richter, cool guy. Actually, get to talk to Paul Reiser this afternoon.
Really?
Yeah. I'm excited about that. All right, so Rams, of course, have the devastating injury to Cam Akers, who was going to be their bell cow running back this year. And today, training camp is open. I think the quarterbacks reported yesterday. Everybody else reports on Wednesday for Rams camp. Sean McVay was asked directly about the running back situation. Here's what he said.
You know, I don't think that's something that we're exploring right now, just the veteran route. You know, Todd's obviously been a huge part of a lot of good things for the Rams. And, you know, I know for me personally, I'm very grateful for all the good things that Todd did and what that meant for our team's success and the leader that he was, Sam. But I think what I'm interested is, you know, different than a couple years ago when you bring CJ in. You know, this, unfortunately for Cam, we're going to miss him a lot, and he's meant a whole lot to this football team over the last year, and I think he will for years to come. But Daryl Henderson's played really good football. We've got an opportunity, you know, leading up into that September 12th date against the Bears to really say, okay, what can Calais do? What can Jake Funk do? What can Xavier Jones do? How do these guys really illustrate, you know, their skill sets on the practice field? And then to say that you would never do it, you know, you don't want to pigeonhole yourself into that, but we are going to use camp as an opportunity to let Thomas Brown pour into these guys and see how they compete and how they handle probably a little bit heavier workload than they anticipate.
All right, I hope he changes his mind on this, because I think this could be a Super Bowl team. I think
yes.
They're that good. And not to slight any of the names he mentioned, any of those young guys who are unproven. But I think that Mace, you know, earlier we were talking about how it's going to cost a lot to get Max Scherzer.
Yes.
In this scenario, what we're talking about is there is an abundance of free agent running backs available on the market. If he doesn't want to bring in Todd Gurley, I understand. Only Sean knows what Gurley was like in that locker room.
What went on behind the scenes in his last year.
If that's a weird fit, I'll roll with McVay and whatever he thinks on that. But Adrian Peterson could be great. And if he didn't work out, you could just cut him. But why not give him a shot? How do you know Le'Veon Bell doesn't have anything left in the tank?
Right.
For example, if this was the Chargers, okay? I don't think the Chargers are a Super Bowl team. They're probably one or two years away.
I think they could be a playoff team.
All right, but I don't – like, if they lost their best running back, I don't, it just would seem to me that there wouldn't be an urgency to go out and get a name. But the Rams have a chance with that defense to go to the Super Bowl this year, right now.
And they're playing for now.
Les Snead's good at identifying talent. He mentioned C.J. Anderson when they brought him in a couple of years ago. I'll let you pick the guy, but I wouldn't care if you bought in Frank Gore. I wouldn't care. I mean, is Adrian Peterson...
Just a bad idea?
Yeah,
Adrian Peterson, I think, is the best idea. Just because Sean McVay says this on Monday, July the 26th, doesn't mean that Les Snead and he and Kevin Demoff and the organization aren't looking at options. Now, I don't expect Daryl Henderson to play during the preseason
No, they said today he won't.
He won't play.
Matter of fact, Mace, let's call
and
this
I like
what
Henderson a lot.
Sean McVay hasn't played a starter, one of the 22 starters yep. in the preseason last couple of years. Those guys aren't playing in the preseason. Now, what'll be interesting is Matt Stafford has never played quarterback for the Rams. Do you give him a few series, maybe
Absolutely
in games
not.
One and two?
Absolutely not. You don't put Matt Stafford on the field right. during a preseason game. I don't want to see.
Well,
I want
they'll
those
do
guys.
What they've done consistently and not put anybody out there.
Look, I want to go to my Rams exhibition games on August the 14th and August the 21st.
Get a steady diet of John Wolford.
A lot of John Wolford and a lot of drinking because I've got a private club right up there by me. So I'm gonna be clubbing while the Rams are playing a meaningless game. I think that in the end. The scary thing to me is that Daryl Henderson has an injury history. If Daryl Henderson is the guy, and I don't think he should be, I don't think he can be. He was their third-round pick out of Memphis a couple of years ago, and he started to show flashes, but last year Cam Akers took all the shine. I don't know who these other people are. I don't know who Xavier Jones is or Jake Funk or Otis Anderson. Otis Anderson. Name sounds familiar, but it's not anybody. But who knows? I mean, those guys are probably going to get the reps. But I am in favor of bringing in Adrian Peterson as the guy.
Yeah, and or Le'Veon Bell. Or, you know, okay, we'll take Gurley off the list because that's just weird.
Yes.
I was okay with Gurley, but if Sean isn't in love with that idea, I'll roll with whatever he knows. But one of these other names we're talking about, why not bring him in and give him a shot? You can always cut him if they don't work. Mace, being out of the league, taking your livelihood away from you is a tremendous motivator. If you're one of these running backs that doesn't have a deal,
yep,
and you might be looking at the end of your career, and all of a sudden you get a phone call, hey, we'll give you one last shot to stay in the league.
Yep.
Especially for, I mean, the guys we're talking about are going, like Frank Gore and Adrian Peterson are going to the Hall of Fame.
Essentially, all these guys ran for 600 yards and had somewhere between 2 and 7 touchdowns last year. We're talking, except for Le'Veon Bell. The rest of them, about 600 yards, 650 yards, 2 to 7 touchdowns. That's what you're going to get from those guys. In the case of Adrian Peterson, like, do I want Daryl Henderson to be my goal line running back? Probably not. But do I want Adrian Peterson to be in that role? Yeah, I would take that.
Hey, I was thinking about something. Tell me if you agree. I think Cam Akers was number 3 on the list of Rams you could least afford to lose, behind only Aaron Donald and Matt Stafford.
I completely agree. I was so excited to see him play this year.
I thought he was going to have just a monster year. And and so I would try and bring in one of those other big names to try and get that done. By the way, the division is going to be just a bear. San Francisco is going to be good. Seattle's going to be good. I think Cliff Kingsbury is probably coaching for his job in Arizona.
But they're going to be dangerous every single game.
Right. And, you know, now they've got a couple of, you know, they got a defense to go along with their offense, and they got Kyler Murray in a year where he's got some experience. I just think they're going to be really good. I could see the whole division going 8-8 or better.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's easily the best division of football. Easily the best
top
division
to bottom,
of football.
For sure.
Yeah, top to bottom, absolutely, without
hey,
question.
So let me just be honest, because you know I'm biased about this one particular subject.
Okay.
All right, there is one...
Russell Westbrook?
No, there is one coach in the NFL, one, who has missed the postseason 3 years in a row and still has his job. You know who it is? He's 19-29 over that stretch.
Is it the Chicago guy?
It's John Gruden.
John Gruden.
Okay, so this is year 4
right.
of the 10-year, $100 million experiment, okay, that I was excited about in the beginning. But then he traded Khalil Mack and ignored the fact that the Raiders have a lousy draft history. And like I said, numbers don't lie. You know, it's the old Bill Parcells line. You are what your record says you are. He's 19-29 since he came back. This is year 4. If he goes 8-8 or less, goes under 500 again this year, isn't it time to cut bait on the Gruden thing?
You know, realistically, I just don't think they will cut bait.
I don't either.
They've got too much invested in the guy now. I mean, he would be owed $60 million.
Right.
Which is insane.
Right.
He's gone 6-10, 4-12, 7-9. 7-9 last year.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, 8-8 in 2020.
Yeah. Yeah. So, but isn't this a make – so it he could go, in your opinion, he could go – it's going to be 17 games this year. So he could go 5-12 and you're stuck with him because there's too much money left in the deal?
I think so. Is Mark Davis really going to pay him $60 million to go away? I mean,
Jerry Jones would.
Sure, Jerry Jones would. I just don't know that Mark
Davis
would.
Stan Kroenke would.
Yeah, Stan Kroenke would. By the way, does it not matter that he went 4-12, 7-9, 8-8, that he's showing improvement every year?
Not if they lose this year. And now, but look at that division. That division's good. Chargers
really
are getting
better.
Chiefs are going to win it. Chargers are getting better. They better finish ahead of Denver.
Yeah, Denver looks awful. They look like the last place team in that division. I guess you're stuck. You're a Raiders fan. I guess you're stuck with them.
I think we are.
You got no choice.
Which
it's Gruden or bust. I mean, you were so excited. You were like all in. Hey, John Gruden, he's
yeah,
our guy.
I was. I thought he was going to be great. And then he traded our best player.
Imagine
if how would you would feel if the Rams traded Aaron Donald because they didn't want to pay him.
The Rams would never make that mistake.
Right. So because the Raiders did, I should put up with it?
Well, I mean, it's your team. I don't know. Are you putting up with it?
I'm not putting
you seem
up
like
with
a half-ass. You seem more like a half-ass Raider fan.
Well, I am now. 9-19.
You don't bleed black and silver?
9-19 or 19-29, I guess is their record. 19-29.
Are you going to go to the Roomba Stadium this year and see a game?
Yeah, sure. Maybe I'll go with Ramona and Jay Corrales.
You know what's really interesting to me is that the Rams preseason games are against, on the 14th, it's against the Chargers, and on the 21st, it's the Raiders at SoFi Stadium. Now, do you think the Raiders are going to make a big showing at SoFi Stadium?
Of course. They always do. By the way, when the Raiders play the Chargers here, there'll be more Raiders fans.
Yeah, look out. Yeah, I'll be interested to see what it's like the night of that Raider. They play on Saturdays. Raiders-Rams game at SoFi Stadium. I don't think that – if you're wearing makeup, I don't think you should be allowed in. If you're wearing
you're speaking to someone who wore makeup for 20 years.
If you're wearing a helmet with horns and you've got a dead baby on your shoulder and all this stuff that Raider fans tend to do.
Dead baby. It's a baby with an eye patch.
Yeah, it's a little dead baby on your shoulder. That should not be allowed at SoFi Stadium. This is a classy joint.
It's coming. We're bringing chains. We're bringing Chucky. We're bringing everybody.
You've got Chucky.
Yeah, unfortunately.
Yeah.
19-29.
Coming up next for you, John, I've got some new news about both the Dodgers and the Angels. You're not going to like the Angels news. That's coming up next for you. Mason and Ireland, 710 ESPN.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Okay, I got a little update from David Singer about my birdie. He says it was a 137-yard par 3. I remember I hit an 8-iron, and I went way right.
So what'd you hit it in with?
I hit it in with a 56 wedge.
Yeah, 56 degree?
Yeah.
Okay. It's going to cost you some strokes.
Got it in the air. I cannot wait till I hit a green in regulation. I will be so excited if I can actually hit a green on a par 3. All right, so I've got a little Dodgers and Angels stuff here. So start with this. The Dodgers are in on a guy named Jose Berrios, and so are the Padres. Both teams are in on it. He's going to be really popular on the trade market. He ranks 9th in Major League Baseball with 121
Who's
innings.
He play for now?
With the Twins. Okay. He's got a 3.48 ERA and a 25% strikeout rate. So It is, but he's a guy that is pre-arbitration. The Twins are still going to try to move him. So it's going to be all the usual. Here are the guys that here are the teams the Dodgers are competing with for every single one of these pitchers: Yankees, Red Sox, Giants, Padres, Astros, and Phillies. They're the teams that are expected.
You're
to be
leaving
the most...
a big one out.
Who's that?
The Mets have a blank checkbook. The Mets are going to get in on all these deals. And they're leading the division.
Right.
There, you know, they got that Steve Cohen, the hedge fund guy there. The Mets are going to be in. What I don't understand is the Angels need pitching more than anybody.
Not
every
happening.
Time a pitcher comes up, why aren't the Angels in on it?
Here's the thing. They're out of it this year. They have no chance. They came out of the All-Star break, went 4-6. So they've fallen to 11 games back in the American League West. And the Angels are now considering becoming sellers. They have three pitchers that teams are interested in. There's Alex Cobb, who's thrown really well in 15 starts this year, and he's very affordable. There's Andrew Heaney, who teams are interested in.
Yeah, and for some reason, they had him near the top of their rotation once.
And then Raisio Iglesias, who's their closer, is also probably the second best arm available after Craig Kimbrell. So the Angels are likely to be sellers when we get to the deadline.
Although,
Friday.
Here's the thing with the Angels. They desperately need starting pitching, and what they really need is a number one starter. They just haven't had one for the past few years. So I would give up anything the Nationals asked for to bring in Scherzer and then sign him for the next 2 years when you're going to have Trout, Otani, Jared Walsh, all these great offensive bats, and see if you can get Trout and Otani in the playoffs. But you don't even have anybody close.
So you're saying buy on Scherzer, even though you're completely out of it for this year.
To get him for, because he says, Scott Boras says he won't agree to waive his no trade clause unless there's an extension involved. So if the Angels went out and signed Scherzer to an extension, there's their number one starter for next year. Now they're in it. But Mace, number one starters are really hard to get. You know, the Dodgers had a handful of them this year, and so they made it look easy. But if
Let me ask you something, though. The Angels, so again, John Morosi reporting they are potentially going to be sellers. They're 5.5 out of the second wild card.
Yeah.
They've got four teams in front of them, but they're going to get Mike Trout back. If you add somebody like Max Scherzer to the rotation, don't you think you got a fighting chance to get to the wild card?
100%. And here's the real thing. If there's a window on everything, and Joe Maddon's really smart.
Yeah.
I don't know if this Perry Minison, the new GM, the guy that came from Atlanta, is one of these guys that's going to like sit on his hands and like go for some long play here. But who long? You've got Shohei Ohtani in his prime. You've got Mike Trout in his prime. Jared Walsh and David Fletcher have come out of nowhere and have been really good players this year.
Yep.
You have no pitching. That's why you took 20 pitchers in the draft. But Trout and Ohtani don't have time to wait for those guys you took in the draft to develop. If you could get a guy like Scherzer, he's an absolute game changer for the Angels. It just makes so much sense to me. I don't, but every report I read is that it's looking like the Mets, it's looking like the Dodgers, it's looking like the Padres, it's looking like the Giants. Nobody needs a number one starter more than the Angels. Nobody. And like, look at the Dodgers, for example. All right, right now, Walker Buehler could be a number one starter on any other team. Might be
Absolutely.
The number one starter on the Dodgers. Clayton Kershaw is a number one starter and has been. He's going to the Hall of Fame.
Yep.
If Julio Urias was on the Angels, he'd be their best starter. He'd
no
be their
quest.
Number one starter.
Well, I mean, Julio Urias is one of the best pitchers in the league.
Right. If, like, even Trevor Bauer, even though I don't think he's going to be available, or Dustin May, when he gets healthy, were to go to the Angels, they would immediately slide into that number one starter role. That's how desperate the Angels are for a number one starter. And yet, every time a big name comes up like this, we never hear him. I don't get it.
Here's the other story I wanted to get to, which I think is fascinating, is the Mike DiGiovanna report. I think I'm saying his name
yeah.
right, Mike DiGiovanna.
Yeah, been with the Times forever. Really good
Times.
Writer.
reported over the weekend that two people with knowledge of the Dodger clubhouse dynamics say a majority of players do not want Trevor Bauer back under any circumstances. Under any circumstances. So even if he's cleared of everything, would you want him back?
Not if you're
knowing that players don't want him back?
No, but what he may need if he gets exonerated. Because, Mace, if he gets convicted of what he's being accused,
right now
there are no charges, so I shouldn't even say it that way.
No, he's being investigated.
If these charges turn out to be if he's charged with something and he turns out to be guilty, he's going to be in jail. He's not going to be able to pitch for anybody. But if the Dodgers players have already given up on him, the Dodgers are too good of a team and they're a World Series contender every year. You should just trade him. You won't get fair value, but you should trade him.
Yeah, I don't know if anybody will take him, though, John.
Eh.
He's making $40 million.
Right.
Not anybody can take making $40 million and $40 million again next year.
In baseball, you ever see that scene in Moneyball where Dave Justice says to Billy Bean, well, you're paying me $17 million, so you must have wanted me. And Bean says, David, I'm not paying you that. The Yankees are paying half your salary. That's how much they don't want you. The Dodgers would have to pay some of that salary.
Yeah, I just don't know who's in on Trevor Bauer. I mean, he's just an ass.
Right, but he's entitled to due process.
Sure.
And if you take
what tells me a lot is those players don't want him back no matter what.
Yeah, if you take his off-the-field incident. Well, I mean, let me just ask you, do you think he's thrown his last pitch as a major leaguer? I don't.
No, not as a major leaguer. He's thrown his last pitch as a Dodger.
So someone's going to take a chance on him.
Yeah, somebody will. I hope the Dodgers
Cubs and the Yankees and other people have shown that they'll take guys with baggage.
Do you think the Dodgers can void his contract?
I don't know enough about it to answer that. I don't know if that is an option that's allowed by the MLBPA and the agreement they have with the players. I don't know if there's a mechanism by which. Now, reading that article that DiGiovanna wrote, it seems like if he's in violation of the morals clause in his contract, which is certainly a possibility here, then they can void it.
Right.
But they've got to prove that first. Right now, he hasn't even been charged with anything. And by the way, like every time I read about the dates of things that are coming up,
it's like into late August now, third week of August.
Right. So I think any chance to pitch again this year is probably gone.
Yeah. All right. Coming up next for you, we got Game of Games coming up for you at 3:45. Then we're going to do Lie of the Day, and we'll take exactly one caller to see if they have figured out the lie of the day. And you guys can all take a shot, too. Something I said on the show is patently false and completely made up. John, on this date in 1990, something very controversial happened. Do you know what it is?
1990. No.
I will tell you what it is next. Mason, Ireland, 710 ESPN.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
I meant to mention this. Lindsay Theory reported this today. Rams coach Sean McVay told reporters that all of the coaching staff is vaccinated and that they are close to having 100% of players vaccinated. See, to me, that's a team that is serious about winning. That's a team that's going to avoid the COVID bug as much as you can going into this season. It's just a great organization.
I don't get me started on people that aren't getting vaccinated.
Yeah, don't get me started either. Jeez. No, don't get me started. I'm not going to get you started. You don't get me started.
All right. What's the other thing you were going to do?
Okay, so this day, 31 years ago, John, something happened that we talked about and talked about and talked about it. Hit it, Jesse. There it is. What an awful moment.
Well, you know how that came about, right?
Well, I know it had something to do with Tom Werner producing the Roseanne show. Is that right?
Tom Werner, who now is one of the guys that runs.
By the way, if you don't know, that's Roseanne Barr singing the national anthem at a Padres game back in 1990. Disrespectfully.
Yeah, and so Werner invited her. At the time, he owned the Padres. And he invited her to come down and sing the anthem as a little bit of cross-promotion. And so she went out there, and she botched it. And at the end, she grabbed her crotch.
Yep.
Because she thought that's what baseball players do. And it was – San Diego, for those who don't know, is a military town.
Yep.
A lot of Army, a lot of Navy, a lot of you know, obviously – Top Gun's down there.
A lot of veterans, a lot of active service people, yeah.
And it just went over, like, I was a reporter in San Diego when that happened, and it was, oh my gosh, it went over like a ton of bricks. It was,
yeah.
It was awful. By the way, so you remember that Roseanne was married to Tom Arnold.
Yeah, Tom Arnold.
Okay, who we've met a few times. Seems like a perfectly nice guy.
Completely nice guy.
Do you think when they got married in the beginning that was love, or was that all a marriage of convenience?
Well, there is such a thing as strategic dating.
Right.
This goes on all the time. These sort of fake relationships they put together, or, you know, one person's not as famous and they get more famous by getting with the famous person. I think that goes on all the time. But to me, Tom Arnold must have been in love with Roseanne.
Yeah.
I tend to give people the benefit. I think there are some odd relationships out there. But I do believe in love, and I believe that people can fall in love, and it's real, even in this scenario. I'm treating Roseanne like she's toxic, and frankly, she has been. But I think Tom Arnold was in love with her.
Well,
don't you?
By the way, I hope so. Bill Simmons, I was just listening to his podcast today, has a theory on this.
Yep.
He says that when Hollywood couples marry, they have to stay in the same class. He says when trouble comes is if one is vastly more successful than the other, then the relationship is doomed. Do you buy that?
No.
You think that one person can be wildly successful and then the other one isn't and they'll still stay together?
Yes. Yes, I do. And I know couples that are like this. I don't want to talk specifically about it, but I know couples that are like this. And, you know, the reality is sometimes it's better to have somebody that's not in the business at all. Like, for example, who's Meryl Streep's husband?
No idea.
Who's Glenn Close's husband?
Yeah, that's a good point.
You know, it's better that there's always somebody in the background. Now, someday, Juan, who's an actor, is going to be a bigger deal than me. Once he gets his series or once he gets his big role, his big movie part, he'll be bigger than me, and I will be totally satisfied with that. If Juan wins an Oscar, I will be like, yeah!
But I would argue, and tell me if I'm wrong, that if Juan had been bigger than you for the last 10, 15 years, it wouldn't have worked.
Disagree. Love is love, man. You're cynical about love. I think love is love.
In this case, though, you can still love them, but it's whether or not you can coexist. You know, I'm sure it's happened, but
for me, would it be difficult for me because of me?
Yeah, I think you have to be the star at least temporarily. I agree with you now. If Juan got a big role and passed you up now, you guys are so far entrenched that no matter what happens, you'd be happy.
We are
for
entrenched.
Him. Yeah, you're like me and Lisa.
Years.
Yeah. Yeah. But
we just always are going to be.
Right. Yeah, that's like me.
Yeah.
So, but I think, matter of fact, do you think if I would say to Juan, in the beginning, when you guys were going out, had he been a bigger deal than you, would it have survived? I think the fact that you've been the big deal up until now leads to a smooth transition if and when it happens.
It would have, although I'm talking a little out of school. I did date an Oscar winner,
right? But it didn't last,
and it didn't last. But I had no problem.
But it didn't last. That's my point.
By the way, kept the Oscar on his bedside table.
I have a friend who I was just talking to him about this, who comes from an entertainment family.
Yep.
His dad, who's no longer with us, passed away and has an Oscar. And when you walk into his house, up the stairs, it's the first thing you see.
Yeah, I mean, if I had an Oscar.
If I had an Oscar, I'd put it as a hood ornament on my car.
Hood ornament on my car, exactly. Here comes the Oscar winner.
It'd be the first thing. I'd have a business card that said that.
Academy Award winner.
Hey,
once you're even nominated, you're always going to be Academy Award nominee.
Right.
Just to have that before your name is like really, really cool. All right, so, John, I've got updated Vegas odds on who's going to get Max Scherzer.
Okay, good. Can I guess? So,
yeah, sure. Take a shot.
Dodgers are in the top two.
Dodgers are number two at 7-2.
I think the Giants or the Mets are ahead of them.
The Mets are number one at 3-1.
Where are the Giants?
The Giants are not on the list.
Are the Padres on the list?
Padres 7-1.
Yankees, Red Sox?
Yankees are 9-2. Milwaukee is 4-1. They're actually the third best bet on the board.
Hmm.
Then the Yankees, then the Astros, then the Red Sox, then the Padres, then the A's, and then the Tampa Bay Rays.
And again, no Angels anywhere on the list.
No Angels anywhere.
Doesn't
on
mean the
list.
Angels can go out and surprise us.
Nope. Anything can happen at the trade deadline.
Yeah.
I'm just so excited to be on the air. This is kind of the fun part of our job. Once we get to, you know, baseball trade deadline, and you know the Dodgers are going to be active. NBA draft is Thursday night. Lakers have a first-round draft pick that they can play with. You could see a deal come down for the Lakers on Thursday night. Free agency opens for the Lakers on Monday at 3 o'clock our time, which is going to be exciting, and we'll start getting rumors leaked early in that day. By the time we're on the air at 1 o'clock on Monday, there will be all sorts of reports out there about who's getting who and who's going where.
Speaking of which, so I announced earlier in the show that big trade between that New Orleans made.
Yes.
Basically to get Eric Bledsoe to Memphis. And now the reports are, Mace, that he's not staying in Memphis.
Oh.
That Eric Bledsoe will basically, you know, they'll let him go become a free agent. So I'm reading a report from CBS Sports now that Kyle Lowry is now a real possibility to go to New Orleans. Also,
right.
Mark Stein is reporting this. When the offseason began, they didn't really have a path to get him. But now with this trade, they've opened up a little more cap space, $34 million total. And now it becomes at least possible that the Pelicans could sign Lowry. Now, if they do, they can create even more cap space by renouncing the two former Lakers, Lonzo Ball and Josh Hart.
Sure.
They would get $13 million more. So this is what I was talking about. By once you get one trade going, it starts a domino effect, and it makes possibilities available for everybody else. So now keep an eye on where Lowry goes, what that means for other guys that are in New Orleans, and now all of a sudden we've got some things happening.
And it's not like there are any Lakers rumors like DeRozan and Dame and Kyle Lowry and Lonzo Ball and Buddy Hield and Russell Westbrook and Bradley Beal and Kemba Walker and Chris Paul. It's not like
matter of fact,
any...
give me the name of a player likely to move that hasn't been tied to the Lakers.
Yeah, no, it's true. Every play, and by the way, this is because it's the Lakers,
right?
You want to play on a championship team. You want to play with LeBron and AD. I think people will take, like DeMar DeRozan saying today, essentially saying, I'll take less to play for a winning team.
Well, and this is what I'll keep saying to Laker fans. You got to let Rob get in the lab and do his thing. He's the only one who knows how the puzzle comes together. He's good at it. And any reports you hear about somebody coming, disregard it because there may be zero truth to
it. Don't disregard it. Have fun with it.
Everybody is just throwing names into a hopper.
Yeah.
But that's what this is all about this time of year.
But
I think we're gonna get some information, and it's possible we get it before Thursday's draft.
Absolutely. All right, there you have it. Coming up next for you is Game of Games. It is my game today, and it is called Spaced Out. Spaced Out is
okay.
the name of the game. We will play that, and then we've got the lie of the day coming up, 877-710-ESPN. We'll take one caller, see if that one caller knows what the lie was today, and if they get it, they win a Mason and Ireland t-shirt. Mason and Ireland, 710-ESPN. All right, it is game of games time, and we've got Ireland, we've got Jesse, and Zach, are you capable of playing the game and still operating the board successfully?
He did that, you know, the hand to the neck thing, so I think he's going to stay focused on the board.
Okay, stay focused.
That means me against you, Lopez. Mano.
Let's do it.
Okay, here we
I'm ready.
Go. It's called Spaced Out, and it involves space. We're in the middle of the billionaire space race. Richard Branson went to the edge of space. Jeff Bezos launched himself into space on the Blue Origin rocket. But in the history of America, NASA has been the driving force behind space exploration. So I've got some questions about the history of NASA.
Okay. Right.
So it's multiple choice. Here we go. Here's number one. Who was the first astronaut to address the United Nations? Was it Neil Armstrong, Alan Shepard, or John Glenn? First astronaut to address the United Nations, Ireland.
That sounds like Neil Armstrong.
Neil Armstrong. Jesse.
I'm going to say Buzz Aldrin.
Well, Buzz Aldrin was not even one of the choices, which is just...
Oh, I listened to Greg.
Extraordinary.
He yelled at it.
Bergman is cheating.
You went completely off the board with Buzz Aldrin.
I trusted you, Greg.
Hey, tell Bergman to get in front of a mic.
Yeah. Bergman, you play. Dum-dum.
Hey,
all right,
Bergman.
He's sitting down right now.
Yeah, no, the correct answer is John Glenn, who actually went on to be a United States senator. Right, he was the first astronaut to address the United Nations.
Nobody's on the board yet. It came to light Friday that Bergman has been cheating at Game of Games by slipping answers to Jorge. And, Bergman, if you want to play the game, step up to the – you know, grab a helmet, grab a bat. Let's go.
Yeah, it was just funny to run in and say something that was not on the list.
Buzz Lightyear. That's what Laura said.
Buzz Lightyear. Buzz
and
Aldrin.
And I do not
Buzz
cheat,
Lightyear.
By the way, with
it's
Jorge.
Rex.
I'm not saying that you cheat. If he listens to you, he cheats.
No, there was no... This doesn't happen. We had one time
so
where
you're
I was
calling
like,
Laura
what's
a liar. You're calling
player?
Laura Romo a liar.
Yeah. What do you have against Laura Romo? Why do
I don't know
you question
why she's
Laura's
bringing me into this conversation when
why
I wasn't even
lying?
Around.
Why are you lying? There we go. Okay, well, Bergman, step in.
Laura is one of the most trusted voices in Southern California media.
Okay, now... Tell Laura she can play too if she wants, but right now it's me, Jesse, and Bergman. Let's go.
Oh, yeah, let Laura jump in. Screw it.
All right. Okay, Laura, play.
No, nobody's on the board yet. Here's number two. Where does the sky end and the space begin? 200 miles, 50 miles, or 2,000 miles? Let's start with Ireland. 250 or 2,000, where does sky end and space begin?
2,000. Was that the largest one?
Yeah, that was the largest
one. That's what I want. Largest.
Okay. Jesse.
I'm going to say 2,000 as well.
2,000. Bergman.
Yeah, I agree. 2,000.
2,000. Laura.
Oh, she stepped out.
One of the most trusted names in local media. All right.
Can you guys hear me?
Yeah, she is.
Oh, okay. 2,000.
2,000. Everybody is on 2,000, and the correct answer is 50. 50 miles.
Oh, God.
Wow. Space begins. So nobody's on the board. You guys are a real bright crew. All right, here's number three. February 20th, 2012 marked the 50th anniversary of the first American to orbit Earth. Who was it? Was it Scott Carpenter, John Glenn, or Alan Shepard? Let's start with Laura.
Carpenter.
Carpenter, Ireland.
John Glenn.
John Glenn. Jesse.
Shepard.
Shepard, Bergman.
I'm going with Ireland.
John Glenn is the correct answer. You were smart to do so. First man to orbit Earth.
Yeah, all right, is that what he kind of famous for?
Yeah, that was his whole thing. That was his jam. All right, here is number four. NASA's shuttle era began April the 12th, 1981, with the launch of which space shuttle? Was it Columbia, Discovery, or Endeavour? What was the first space shuttle? We start with Jesse.
I'm going to say Endeavour.
Endeavor. Bergman.
Discovery.
Discovery. Laura.
Endeavor.
Endeavor. Ireland.
I think it's Columbia. I think Columbia just happened.
Columbia is the correct answer. Yeah.
Endeavor happened like 2 years ago, you dopes.
I said Discovery.
I guessed.
I was just guessing Endeavor because, you know, the spaceship that's at us.
Endeavor is sitting at the Science Museum over by USC. It happened like 2 years ago.
You're absolutely right. It is.
I was there like a month ago. That's why it popped in my head.
Remember?
It's Ireland 2, Bergman 1, Jesse zip, Laura zip. Here is number five. What is the distance between the sun and the earth? Now pay attention to this. Is it 93.6 million miles, 1.5 billion miles, or 6 million miles? So it's 93.6, 6 million, or 1.5. It's a little confusing. Bergman.
93.6.
93.6. Laura.
I'm going to go with 93.6.
93.6. Ireland.
That was the first one, right?
Correct.
I'll go with them.
93.6. And yeah. Jesse.
All right, I'm going to go 6 million.
Yeah, Jesse, you are wrong, wrong, wrong. The correct
son
answer.
Of a biscuit.
93.6 million is the distance between the sun and the earth. I got two left, and then a tiebreaker if we need it. How many planets are in our solar system? And I'm using the Pluto rule. No Pluto. How many planets are in our solar system? We start with Laura. It's either 7, 8, or 12.
8.
Laura says 8. Ireland.
Well, you should have 9 because Pluto is a planet, but the answer is 8.
Mm-hmm. The answer is 8. Jesse.
Exactly what John said. Should have 9, but the answer is 8.
There you go. Yep. And Bergman?
Totally agreed with all that. It's
yeah,
eight.
Everybody's right. It is. There are 8 planets plus Pluto.
Okay,
the last
so make
one.
Make me go first because Bergman needs to tie me.
Yeah, it's Ireland
it
4, Bergman 3, Laura 2, Jesse 1.
Yes.
What is the largest planet in our galaxy? Is it Saturn, Jupiter, or Venus? Saturn, Jupiter, or Venus, which is the largest planet in our galaxy? Ireland.
Saturn.
Saturn. Bergman?
It's wrong. It's Jupiter.
Jupiter. Jesse?
I actually think it's Jupiter as well.
Jupiter. Laura?
It's Jupiter.
It is Jupiter. I can't believe you missed that, John Ireland.
Oh.
We now have got a 4-4
well, I thought you were counting
time.
The ring.
No, Jupiter is roughly 11 times the size of Earth.
Okay,
so it's
me against Bergman in the tiebreaker.
In the tiebreaker, yes. Here it is. What is NASA's annual budget for 2020 closest without going over? How much was NASA's annual budget for the year 2020
All right,
closest
Bergman, you
without
have to go
over?
First because I went first last time.
What do you think, Bergman?
So I'm either going $0 or $1 base, or a $1 over what you say.
Oh, I might as well just say $1 billion then. You're going to go $0 or $1 billion and one, so $1
billion. No, it's way more than that.
Yeah, it's more.
You really want to go with $1
billion? No, I'll go higher.
All right, what is it?
$222 billion.
What are you doing?
What was that
hesitation there, Greg? What are we doing
giving
there?
Numbers.
$222 billion is what you're going with?
I said billion,
that would bank that would bankrupt the entire country.
Yeah.
$1, Mace.
$1 carries the day. The budget is
$22 billion, dude.
$22 billion. $22 billion.
Laura was like throwing up numbers and I couldn't understand what
you're
doing.
Laura, now you're cheating.
Wait, you guys are just a collection of cheats.
I was trying to say $1 billion. That's what I was sticking at.
I was trying to help the producer of our show.
By giving him the right answer.
There's no helping here.
All right, let's go to lie of the day because
okay, lie of the day.
I have two possibilities.
We've got one caller for lie of the
let's
day.
Let's let the caller go first.
Say the name again.
No,
Kofi in L.A. Kofi, you're on 710. What's up, man?
Hey, what's going on, Mason? Ireland?
All is good. So do you think you
Kofi,
have figured
what's
out?
What's the lie of the day?
Well, first off, I got to – if this is actually what you've been doing and I haven't been able to fully pay attention, I'm a school teacher and sometimes when my students come in, I can't listen.
Yep.
So I get at lunch hour, I get a little bit. And one time you said that Tom Brady consumed 100 gallons of water a day.
Yeah, but this
you didn't say that today. Okay,
this is the lie of the day.
All right, thanks, Kofi,
thanks,
for trying.
Kofi.
Yeah, that's the risk of bringing in a caller. Is
yeah,
that they
you never know what you're
all right,
get.
Jesse. Do you
By the way, if you're listening right now, tomorrow we'll do this the exact same time. Listen to the show, pay attention to everything, see if you can figure out the lie of the day, and you win a Mason and Ireland T-shirt. All right, guys, what do you think,
Jesse? What do you think it is?
All right, so
I've got it down to two things. What do you think it is?
Yeah, I have it down to three things. At first, when Mace was talking about the fries and the TikTok thing, I thought it was that, but then I saw it was true, and I was like, okay. All right, then. So I think it was the Helen Mirren story.
Bring me.
Was one of my two.
Mm-hmm.
Am I the only other person guessing?
Yeah, no. You're the only.
Zach actually has a guess, too.
Oh, Zach has a guess.
Yeah. Zach, what's your guess?
I think it's a guided meditation.
Oh, that he's that every night
because
he's...
Because he would have led with that to say, Ireland, you know what I do. Instead, he was going with the CBD and everything else.
I now think Zach has figured it out. But to give us a better chance of taking you down...
Yep.
And, Zach, that is excellent deduction
good,
by
good
you.
Good deducery.
I think it is the Susanna Olin German person in the mud that put mud all over her shirt to claim that she was part of a
cleanup effort.
Yeah. So we've got those are the three we're going with. Helen Mirren, the cleanup effort, and the one I think that's right, and that is Zach's guess of meditation. Did anyone get it?
Meditation is completely legit. Helen Mirren, completely legit. Ugh. Woman putting dirt on herself as the reporter in Germany, completely legit.
Ah!
The lie of the day is I do not currently have a screenplay written by Mary, and I did not tell her to take a UCLA extension course.
Dang it! That was my second one!
God!
There is the lie of the day. All right, are we done?
Losing streak ever. We're done. This
yes,
show went
we're
fast.
Done.
Good job,
it
Jesse.
It flew by.
Thank you.
All right, thanks very much, Jesse. Nice job. Zach, nice job. See you guys tomorrow.
Zach, way to go.
Yeah, good job, man. No screw-ups. That's impressive. Coming up next for you is Sedano, LZ, and Cap. Mason in Ireland back tomorrow, 12:55 sharp on 710 ESPN.